Away we go.
Welcome to episode one of the Parents of the Year podcast, our very first attempt at trying to bestow upon the world our own logic of raising kids. The reason for the title of Parents of the Year is we have a running joke, myself and my wife, Caroline, about whenever we do something we think is probably a bad call as a parent, we celebrate the fact that we're probably going to get an award for being Parents of the Year. But overall, we think we're doing an okay job with our kids and thought this would be a good opportunity for us to ask questions that we know are out there and give our own take on it and see what resonates. So thanks for tuning in. My name is Andrew Stewart. I'm joined by my highly accomplished and much better parent, wife, Caroline Bazenko.
Doing okay. I think we're failing at parenting sometimes, most of the time. Our children will probably say we're failing.
Well, I did hear a phone call with Willow and Grandma today, and she wasn't painting a huge picture of how great life was. And I was right there. Like, she had no shame about it. So
what did she say?
She's talking about, she was talking about the fact that it's usually leftovers. Yeah, it's usually leftovers they feed us. Like, I was only getting one side of the conversation. And I know they're busy with work all the time. So that's why I'm calling you. I'm literally 4 feet away from her. She's not engaging with me. She's telling Grandma that we're ignoring her. So that warmed me up a little bit. Made me feel like a good dad.
Well, it is true. Last week, I think I had peanut butter and jam sandwiches or Rice Krispies pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. And we've been having the same leftovers for...
She doesn't eat it when it's fresh, so I don't know why she's complaining about leftovers. Anyways, for the purpose of tonight, just as a brief overview, the intent is each one of us and each episode will bring a question forward that the other doesn't know. We will ask it and then we'll just discuss it and kind of get our own thoughts on it, and some of them will be good, some of them will be bad, and we'll see where we land. So tonight is Caroline's turn. She gets to ask the question for the inaugural episode, and we'll see what it is.
Well, I think just to lay a good foundation is to talk about your philosophy as a parent.
All right. Our philosophy or just mine?
Well, yours. I can talk about mine. Okay. I don't think ours. Well, maybe it's on the same page. I don't know.
So my philosophy as a parent is very similar to my philosophy in a lot of aspects of life, which is just to try and be as open and honest with them as I can, within reason. I think there's stuff that...
Developmentally appropriate.
Yeah, I think, yeah, well, that's your area. We can get into the... we can get into who makes those calls. But I think realistically, it comes down to I don't want them to ever feel that there's something they can't talk to us about. So to be able to do that, we have to be honest with them about as much as we can. And at the same time, I want them to be accountable and hold us accountable as well. I think we try to be as best as we can, but at the same time, that's one of the things in life that just drives me nuts. And I know I'll soapbox about it from time to time, but nothing drives me nuts more than people not taking accountability, good or bad, mm-hmm. for what they've done. And in kids, I want them to understand that there's, and I don't know if, and I, they're too young right now. So just for the listeners, our kids right now, as of this recording, our youngest is about to turn 11 and our oldest is about to turn 15. Both girls, both awesome. Both active in sports, you know, and really highly creative and smart kids. But the thing I worry about is them being able to take accountability and understanding why it's important to take accountability. I think they see it as they got to tell the truth and they got to be honest and they can't lie. And that's not what it is for me. And as they get older, I want them to understand that taking accountability for the decisions and the actions you take is the only way that you can truly understand how to become a better person. Mm-hmm. And that's in all aspects of life. I have through my working years sat there and been heaped loads of crap that wasn't my fault. It was someone else's on the team, or it was someone that reported to me. And I sat there and I ate that and I hated every second of it. But only through taking accountability of that can I legitimately go back to that person and say, this is now what we've learned and what's going to change, because I sat there and I took that shit. The kids need to learn the same thing, and they especially need to learn the same thing. And this is kind of a rant, but they, being the only guy in the house, and that includes
living with chicks
is
with ADHD.
yes, with ADHD and the dogs. I don't know what they have, but the world is different, and I see it differently because I interact with it differently than a girl does. And that's not a claim. It's that the construct of our day-to-day lives is set up differently for me to move through my day than it is for a girl to move through her day. And I have come across so many smart women, talented women, creative women that have such a low sense of self-worth because of things that other people have put upon them. And I don't want that for my kids. I want these girls to know that if there's something they don't agree with, they're going to stand up and they're going to say something. And if someone says, oh, that, you know, that girl is a whatever, then fine. As long as they're being honest, as long as they're taking accountability for both parts of it, which is their role in a situation, the part of the situation they don't like, and then move forward. Because I don't want them to ever cower, right? I don't want them to ever feel like they don't deserve something or they aren't capable of something. And I see parts of it. I see little snippets every once in a while where you can tell someone out there outside of this house got at them and made them question themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that. So for me, these girls, my only contribution, because I can't relate to them as a girl, there's not a lot I can teach them about being a girl. So all I can teach them are the things that I feel are going to put them forward in life, which is how to be confident, how to be honest about who you are, how to be an honest person, and that's not gender specific, obviously, but I don't think a lot of women are honest with themselves.
Yeah.
I think a lot of women have these constructs that they build up over time that are a massive disservice to themselves. My mom's a perfect example. The amount of times I hear my mom describe herself as dumb or stupid or right. And you've seen it. And I know it drives you nuts. It
drives me nuts, especially in front of the girls.
Totally.
Because and what's the message that we're sending the girls?
Yeah. Exactly. But when you peel that back, that's years of the world and other people doing that to mom, putting her in that spot or telling her that she's not good enough for university. Or even, I remember her telling me a story of being back on the farm where her mom told her, no, going to university is for the boys. So as the oldest child that happened to be a girl, her mom even said, no, the boys, that's the boys' path. You're more about helping me in the kitchen. No wonder she's got a warped sense of self, right? I don't want that for my kids.
Yeah.
Right. And so anyways, it's kind of a ramble. It's kind of off topic, but but that's kind of what the philosophy comes down to is I want to be open and honest and accountable. And ultimately I want them to know I love them. Right. And through all of those, my hope is that when I'm not there, they can rely on that foundation to be able to point out the shitty person in the room. Right? That person is a shitty person. I don't want anything to do with them. Or no, you can't talk to me like that because I know that's not true. That's what I'm trying to build in them. And, you know, it's tough to know if it's in there yet. Right? I see a bit of it with Maya, but I also see a bit of the self-doubt with Maya too, but that's the age. I see
so much self-doubt with both of them. Even Willow, who is a little bit more assertive, and she seems like everybody says, oh, she looks so confident. She's got this hard outer shell, but she's got such a soft underbelly. Yeah. She is so sensitive to everything. And for both of them.
Yeah.
Man, like there's a million different things that you've talked about here. I don't know if I can remember it all. It's my ADHD brain. Oh my gosh. There's like a million things I wanted to talk about.
Sorry.
Based on what you're saying. I gotta put my hand up and be like, stop, let me summarize.
Yeah, sure.
No, but I think we do have a lot of talks about integrity. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a big one for me, is that integrity piece. And right now, unfortunately, it is the whole owning up.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's the stage, right?
The chocolate. You know, always stealing, sneaking chocolate and candies. That's probably the ADHD piece. I keep bringing that up, but it really is a piece of it, right? Just needing the sugar. No, it wasn't me, But now she's like, yeah, it was totally me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to own up to it. But the accountability piece, one thing I often teach is they have to be accountable to more people than just us. And I think mm-hmm. like parents, and I think parents take on that role of being the groomer and the educator. And like, we just take on the role for absolutely everything. And a great example is, you know, Maya had a rough year a couple of years ago. She plays ringette, and one of the coaches was not, one of the assistant coaches was not a very great coach for the girls and put them down. They didn't feel good. You know, it was a disjointed team.
Yeah.
And Maya would come home crying to us, but she's not accountable to us in that setting. And so she had to go have the really hard conversation. She would have been what, like 12?
Yeah, she was 12 when it happened. And yeah, we had to have a conversation because she came to us to try and figure it out. And I was, no, you've got to go have that conversation.
Exactly. And so she went to her coach, even though, you know, she felt all the nerves. She's very anxious socially and felt like she was going to throw up. It was so hard, but she did it. And she felt so good after. And I think he gave her captain
that game
she went to go confront, showing that assertiveness piece. So yeah, I do think that integrity piece and accountability is so important, because we just talk just in general life, mm-hmm. the lack of it.
It drives me nuts. Yeah. And it's
an entitlement.
Yeah. Well, they go hand in hand, right? If you're not accountable, you feel entitled. And you, there's a book, by a guy named Jocko Willink, who is an ex-Navy SEAL, like crazy badass, like top dude. Right. He has a book called, I think, Extreme Ownership. And it was the first time it was put into words. I had that as an underlying thought, but the way he framed it all really separated it out to me. Like, yeah, that's exactly what you should be doing. And so it's crystallized it for me a little bit, but it's just more about, I mean, if I was to try and summarize what I'm saying from a philosophical standpoint, my general philosophy for the kids, or the general philosophy as a parent, comes down to the honest integrity, the accountability, and the education piece. But it really comes down to the single word of just evolution. Like, I want the kids to constantly be evolving throughout their life in a positive manner. But to do that, they need the foundation of honesty, integrity, and accountability. You can't be anything better if your foundation is horrible, right? And I've been very lucky that I've met a ton of people that I would say live their lives like that. And I kind of am arm's length when it comes to, I mean, you and I have done enough professional development courses or personal development courses over the years that insincerity that comes out with people that are almost faking it till they make it with being happy and gratitude. And I don't buy into any of that. As soon as someone starts speaking about all their gratitude and they're filled with it, stop. That to me is and maybe that's a failing on my own part. The crass way of saying it is, the guy that boasts the most about who he's dating in the locker room is probably dating the least amount of girls, to put it as nicely as possible, right? You don't prove to me or anyone around you that you're a good person living a good life because you're shouting it all the time. You prove it through the quiet actions you take and the absolute attempt to avoid recognition for what you're doing in both your own sense and for others. And that comes down to, again, when I was in positions where I was a leader of a team and I was just getting railed, I could have easily, this guy's not doing his job and this guy's not doing his job and this guy's, but that is no better than me standing there when the team is doing great going, it's all because of me, all because of what I did. This is why the team is great. It's not about that. It's about being that point where my service at that point is to protect and to teach and to take on that burden quietly and then move on. And that to me are people that I try and emulate, because if you're honest about who you are, if you're honest about your failings, if you're honest about what your strengths are, you have the ability to always be open to new experiences and new stuff. And you can then evolve, right? It all kind of ties together. But if you don't, then all your energy goes into creating this facade, this fake person that you think people will like. And this is a total soapbox, but that is why we have the problems we have with influencers and these celebrities and these false people that are dominating attention and airwaves and thoughts, and they shouldn't be, because they're not good people. They're not good people. And for me, the way you and I have set up how the kids live without social media, without a lot of devices, without a lot of screen time, they're not subjected to that. So they're forced in a way to figure out who they are and only act in that way, as opposed to wanting to emulate awfulness. Mm-hmm. So there was another kind of soapbox, but it all still comes down to it's almost a protection aspect of, if they're open and honest about who they are, if they've got that integrity, if they have the ability to be accountable to themselves and to those around them, they then have the ability to become better people over time and learn and evolve for their entire lives. Mm-hmm. So that's my philosophy.
So from that, I've got two questions just to break it down. How do you do that as a parent to fulfill that?
There's two things. I try in the moment to call out when I think this is one of those moments where they need to be that, right? And they hate it.
Yeah.
They hate it, right? But I mean, it's a conversation around, no, you made a commitment that you were going to practice tonight. And I don't care if it's minus 30. Like, I don't want to get in the truck and drive down to a rink in minus 30 and stand there for 2 hours. I don't. But that's how we demonstrate our fulfillment of our commitment and being accountable to our teammates who we've made that pledge to, right? And as other opportunities arise, sports is just an easy one to pick on, but there are other times that you have to follow through. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you don't say you're going to do it, why not? You know, is there an opportunity? So I try and do things for others when I don't necessarily have to, right? I try and be as honest about the type of person that I am as I can be. I don't have any airs with my kids. Like, I don't try and project myself or present myself as this super dad or anything else, but they know I love them. They know I'll protect them. They know that I'll do anything I can to support them, but sometimes that support hurts and they're not going to like it. And then, yeah, I just try myself to be a genuine person, right? Like, perfect example of what I try and demonstrate. This isn't necessarily the philosophical bit, but I know Maya struggles socially, right? So I go out of my way to be social in situations where she's with me so she can see that interaction and see that it's not a scary interaction and it's pretty easy.
And she loves it. She loves just sitting and listening to you joke around. And
it's with new people and it's with friends, right? And part of that as well is...
And I think her confidence is up with you too, because she is willing to jump in and throw in jokes.
And she can hang with me and my friends, right? Like, and you know, for those out there, I've got a group of friends that I've been friends with since we were kids, through teenagers, which is a rarity, right? It's like five or six of us that have known each other since before we could drive. And we now all have kids of similar ages and we all have varying philosophies on how we're raising our kids. But there's a common thread through that, in that we demonstrate to each other that we love each other. All my friends, as soon as we see each other, it's a hug. It's never a handshake. It's never just a wave. It's always a hug. At the end of phone calls and interactions, we always tell each other we love each other. Like, these are dudes, like dumb,
big,
hairy ridiculous dudes. But it's important for me to show them that it is possible to have friendships that span decades. But to do that, there's give and take, right? Like, I'm very bad at asking my friends for help. I never will. But I will drive 2 hours to help them do something because that's what I can do. That's what I can offer them. And I hope through that the girls see that. And I don't expect it to manifest itself until they're more mature and comfortable, but that's all I can offer. I can only offer the example I can give. So yeah, I try and pick those opportunities to emulate those values or those pieces that I think are important.
Mm-hmm. And that commitment piece, I think that's why, well, even today, like I've been quite sick, I've got shingles, but I have a commitment to the families that I work with, you know, and even mm-hmm. they were like, should we cancel? I'm like, no. And especially one family, I'm like, I'm always like shuffling things because things come up, but we've got that commitment. And the girls see that. Mm-hmm. So what we model and what we emulate is really important. Okay. Question, you know, so those are the steps that you're going to do. How will you know you are successful?
Well, there is the one line that I always say, and this is not a big example of it, but I'm trying to raise the kids. I especially tell the girls that I will do anything I can to support and protect them. But I'm also very upfront with them. I'm trying to teach them how to protect themselves. And I don't mean fighting and whatever. I mean, standing up for yourself, recognizing when someone is imposing on you or potentially doing something harmful to you. And I tell them that I will be there in any degree they need, but I refer to myself as the nuclear option. I am the part you bring in when all else fails, because I won't have the capacity not to protect them in a way that I feel I need to. And that would probably be excessive. So I try and show them all the things they can do before they would need to call dad and be like, this person's mean to me, or this person hit me, or whatever. Right. And not to say that that would ever happen, but that's kind of the picture I paint of there are steps you guys can take to protect yourselves. And in a small bit of it, I see some of that. Right. And I see Willow told me a story a few weeks ago about how someone was being mean to one kid at school. And she's not particularly close with the kid, but she told the others that they didn't need to talk to them like that, and then went and checked on them. Mm-hmm. Right. And I see, you and I talk about it all the time, Willow, whenever a goal goes in or something happens to one of her teammates, she is always the first one over checking on them, making sure they're okay.
Well, even just her last game in the past couple of days, the other team,
yeah.
the girl fell yeah. down and hurt from the other team. And Willow was the only one
that went over on her.
To check on her. And yeah. she wasn't even on her team.
And so those are little micro check-ins that I can be like, yeah, they're on the right path. But I mean, how will I know I'm successful? I don't know. I guess it's going to be a while, but I hope it's when they're on their own and they're not with us constantly, that they're happy and they've surrounded themselves with things and people that make them happy, and they're comfortable with who they are. Like, to my earlier point, there are so many women that have come through my life that are not happy with who they are and are down on themselves and the decisions they made in their youth, and on and on and on and on and on. And it's like, why carry that, right? Like, learn from it, be accountable to it, and move on, and then be happy with who you are. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect at myself. I mean, to be completely honest, the past 2 years have been brutal mentally. But I now, in the past few months, feel like that's the perspective I have full time again. And it's important for me to make sure that they see that as well. So yeah, it's going to come down to, are they happy? Are they comfortable? Have they made the relationships that are going to support them in the way that they need to be supported? Are they continuing to learn and they're not stagnating in their life? And if a lot of those things are in place, then yeah, that's the best I can hope for.
Mm-hmm. Just staying stuck, getting out, maybe a little bit of dwelling and venting, but.
And that's fine. Like that's been me for the past year and a half, right? With all the changes and stuff that has started, I've felt stagnant. I've felt like I've struggled. But it wasn't until I sat down in the fall after everything really fell apart. And I mean, professionally, like a lot of work transition and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I sat down and was honest about what I was doing and where my focus was, that I'm like, okay, I need to do these things differently. And once I started to do those things differently, things started to improve again. And my mindset shifted to, okay, you're not an idiot. Like, you know what you're doing, right? But again, it's okay to get in that rut as long as you know that at some point you have to look in that mirror and be completely honest.
Exactly.
And be like, okay, is this the world shitting on you? Or is it that you put yourself under the outhouse and you're just wondering why it's all shit, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and it was important. There's a lot of stuff I still wanted to figure out and to work on and improve on, but it's not going to be easy. But I want them, again, to see that process, to see that it's not always dark. It's not always shaky. It's not always stress. There are moments where you can move forward because you kind of open up about it.
Yeah. And learn from that.
Yep.
Awesome.
So does that answer your question?
I think so.
All right.
And it opens up about a million more, which we'll leave for future
episodes. Future references. Okay. Okay. So that's it. Hopefully one in the books.
Not too boring. Hopefully somebody listens to this.
We'll see. All right. See you in episode 2.
Bye.